Reb Shalom Shvadron one time was visiting Holland. He used to travel around the world giving his famous drushes. And his travels took him to Holland. And he was in a Jewish hotel in Holland. And one day he woke up, came down, and he came into the dining room for breakfast. He saw that there was a very, very sad atmosphere in the dining room, in the hotel dining room. Reb Shalom Shvadron, he was one time in Holland in a Frum hotel, came down one morning for breakfast. He saw that there was a very sad, morose atmosphere in the dining room. And he's looking around, orders his breakfast, and everybody had these long faces. He could tell that something was up. So Reb Shalom asked, What's the problem? What is it? What is everybody so sad about? And they told him that day, Holland is big on bike racing apparently. Not that I know. But it was a favorite bike racer. He was like a national icon. He was a very, very beloved public figure because of his bike racing capabilities. And he had rode his bike off a cliff and he was killed. And therefore all of Holland is in Avelus. Okay. Now Reb Shalom Shvadron was Reb Shalom Shvadron, and we're not going to take anybody's death lightly, but at the same time, I mean, if you want to be misabel for any Dutch person that dies, okay, but here the fact that it was a beloved figure, the person who was the fastest bike racer in Holland, Reb Shalom felt that warranted a response on his part. So he gave a drasha that day, one of the big shuls. Basically, was just an agenda of drushas. That was what he was doing there in Holland. And he got up and he began his drasha with a mournful tune, with the way they do their spadim here. If you've heard a Yerushalmi hesped, it's almost like with the tune of Eicha. So the whole niggin. It's not just the speech. So the whole niggin. And he launched into a whole hesped with a very, very mournful niggin. And he said, there was a cat in Shari Chesed. Shari Chesed was his neighborhood in Yerushalayim. A cat in Shari Chesed we used to see every day, how he would zip up the tree. And he zipped up faster than lightning. This was the fastest cat Shari Chesed had ever known. And Shari Chesed knew a lot of cats. A lot of cats in Shari Chesed. But this was the fastest cat Shari Chesed had ever known. And for many years we had the privilege of watching him zip up and down trees, back and forth streets, mamish like the flash of a lightning. And Reb Shalom concludes with his mournful tone reaching a peak. The day came, that terrible day came, when the cat was hit by a car, couldn't outrun it, as fast as it was. The cat was hit by a car, and all of Shari Chesed was plunged into mourning. And that was basically his drush. I don't know how much of a popular darshan he was in that area after that. But what was the point he was trying to make? When we appreciate man for his physical feats, for his physical accomplishments, it's pretty ridiculous. Think about it for a minute. Why does man rule the world? Why is it that dolphins perform for us in aquariums and we don't perform for dolphins in aquariums? The answer is because man has intellect. Because man is intelligent. You're talking physical power? Man is nowhere near the top of the list. So, when you see, for example, how much koiches, how much effort, how much training goes into, let's say, the Olympic racers, runners, how much energy and how much money goes into training to bring a person to the madrega, what is the accomplishment of human greatness, that with months of training he can run three quarters the speed of an average alley cat. That is human greatness. we can produce people who can run three quarters as fast of an average alley cat. Or a person who can lift up half the weight that your average donkey can carry. That is human greatness. So we obviously understand that it's ridiculous. And it's a shame. If that's what, especially when all of human intellect is harnessed into developing this, it's a waste of what the human being is. The truth is that this is an obvious point that we don't really have to dwell too much on when it comes to these sorts of accomplishments. But I want to take it a scary step further, and this is really what we've been leading up to in the previous weeks. A scary step further. That the same thing is true for Avodas Hashem. If our greatness in Avodas Hashem is in our physical activities, then that means that 2% of our quality as human beings is being dedicated to Avodas Hashem. And this is really the point that we've been getting at in the previous weeks, I mean from before last week. Last week we deviated. That when we're talking about Emunah, we're talking about developing a relationship with Hashem, but now we're taking it a step further. We're saying that that actually is the ikar of our Yiddishkeit. Because if we can really understand that man, quality-wise, okay, qualitatively, man is 95% intellect and emotion, and 5% physical capability, is it possible that Hashem created us to serve Him, and our dedication for Hashem will be primarily in the 5% of physical capability? And therefore, this is actually the Chodesh Alvavus' Raya, this is his proof, that the main area of serving Hashem is with our insides. And that all of the external chiyuvim, which is most of the tayag, are really meant to, well, we'll see, to correlate with the inner avoda, which is the main thing. But again, if Hashem created a person such that he is 5%, the percentages that I'm giving are arbitrary, but that's the idea, 5% physical capability and 95% inside, then a person's Avodas Hashem should be 95% inside and 5% outside. Now what does this mean? So you can come back to the example that we gave the other week. I just want to put it into this perspective before we go further. We said the other week that you can have two people doing the same mitzvah. One person, it is 95% of an inner activity and 5% of an outer activity, while the other person, it's 100% of an outer activity. You know that everybody probably knows that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. But how many people know that it's really not? Mount Everest is not the tallest mountain in the world. There's a taller mountain somewhere in Japan, just that most of it is underwater. So when we say that Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world, it's true, it means above ground level. Above ground level, Mount Everest reaches the highest. But actually, there is a mountain that if you're going from the bottom of the mountain up, there is a higher mountain, Mount Everest, somewhere in the Japan region, I don't know exactly where. That's the point, that's the intent when we say that when it comes to a mitzvah, if two people are putting on the same tefillin, I mean, we said the other week, but by one person, what you see is what you get. You put on tefillin. By the other person, that putting on tefillin is actually just the summit of something that's going on much, much, much deeper down. By this person, it's 5 feet of external activity. By the other person, it's 100 feet. 5 feet of external activity, 95 feet of inner activity. The Chovetz Chavavis says, Mele, that this is the proof that it must be Hashem created man in this way, that he is mostly inside, that most of our Avodas Hashem is supposed to be inside. Now inside, meaning, this is what we call the mitzvahs halev. Rachmana libeboy. Hashem wants your heart. Heart, in the Lashon of the Kadmonim, does not mean just the emotions. Heart, in the Lashon of the Kadmonim, means the whole psyche. The combination of a person's intellectual capabilities brought together with his emotional capabilities. All of your passions, all of your inner workings, the mental and emotional workings where they all come together, that's called the lev. And the lev is our main area of Avodas Hashem. So here, understanding that, we actually realize that we were talking before about a relationship with Hashem, that our emunah is meant to turn into a relationship, what that actually means is that there's a whole series of mitzvot halev that are really not meant to be understood as a bunch of individual mitzvahs. They are meant to come together to form one relationship. Let's take, for example, a family. Let's put it, what we've been discussing here, into the perspective of the family. Bezos Hashem, next week we'll actually go to start breaking the dynamics down one by one. What are the elements of this relationship? You take a family. The family, it's mamish the same thing. With the family, there are mitzvahs halev, the inner mitzvahs, and there are mitzvahs ha'ivarim. They are the outer mitzvahs. The external mitzvahs of a family are doing laundry, cooking, going to the makolet, earning money, etc. Is that the definition of what a family is? Certainly not. These are the outermost manifestations of what a family is. A family is lev. A family is the relationship, the inner feelings. That's what the family is. Of course, in order to keep it going, there are these other things also, but that's not what defines the family. Now, what is a relationship based on? If we'll talk about relationship between husband and wife, it's going to be based on many dynamics. We'll actually list them instead of keeping on saying dynamics like we have been saying. It's obviously based, first of all, on appreciation. It begins with realizing the other person is there. That's also a chiddush in some relationships. You have to realize the other person is there. You have to appreciate what they're about. Love. Fear as in. Not fear as in fear that if I make a lot of trouble, my wife might beat me. But fear as in a child-parent relationship is that too, to an extent. But fear as in being scared to mess up a good situation. Trust is a very, very important part of a relationship. These all, if we think about it, these mamish parallel actual chiyuvim d'oraisa. Love, fear, appreciation, trust, fear in that sense. Yes, or enumus, we'll get to that. These are components of what's really a relationship, and that is the ikar avodah that we have with Hashem. All the external mitzvahs are meant to be the offshoots, are meant to be the manifestations, the expressions of this, of these inner feelings. That's why, for example, right, most, whether it's a debate with a taxi driver or with the guy sitting next to you on the plane, it's always a good time for theological discussions. And after you start discussing things, you get the good old rusty taina that the main thing is that your heart is in the right place. And the answer is that that's 100% true. That is the main thing. That's all the Yiddishkeit is about. But how do you tell if your heart is in the right place? What if a husband's heart is in the right place, but it can't get him up, can't get him moving to go buy some food for the house? Your heart is in the right place. Can it get you moving? How can you say your feelings are in the right place if they can't get you out of bed? How can you say your feelings are in the right place if you can't hold back from doing anything? What if a husband tells his wife, "Yes, I love you, but when I get mad, I beat you, I can't hold back"? If it can't hold you back from beating, your heart is not in the right place. Well, the main thing is that the heart is in the right place. The heart is the ikar. The actions, the relationship between the actions and the heart, is that the actions are actually expressing, manifesting what's in the heart. So Bezus Hashem, hope next week to actually start breaking it down to the list of dynamics that are meant to be existent in our relationship with Hashem, studying them, and understanding that this is really what our whole avodah as Eden is. This basically is the content of the Akdom of Sefer Chovetz Chaim.